Thank you, Jesus. Can we take a few more minutes tonight? Hallelujah. I love you today. I love you. And I want to tell you that I love you. I want to tell you with my worship, with my song, with my praise, with my words. I want to tell you, Lord, the way that I live, the things that I do, God. I want to show you, Lord, that I love you. I'm grateful for what you've done in my life. I'm thankful, God, for what you've done in my life. I'm thankful, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm blessed. I'm blessed today. I'm blessed today. I don't deserve this. Words or accolades people want to throw my way, I guess it's better than cussing me out. But I'm not here for that. I know that you're not here just to pat me on the back neither, but we're here to touch the Lord. And that's what we want more than anything. And if you are maybe new to this or just coming into this, never, never fall into the trap of letting church become a routine. Never fall into the trap of letting we come, we sing, we hear a good message, we have a good maybe altar call and go home, and that's just all it becomes to you. It's just that routine. But every single time I come to the house of God, I want it to be with a sincere heart, a sincere push towards God's plan and will for me tonight.
Yes,
hallelujah. Every single person that's here, I promise you, God has a will. God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. Do you want it to be fulfilled? Do you want it to be your will to fill it with your spirit? If it's your will to change my life, my direction, God, take away the addiction, take away the pull of the world, and give me a brand new life today. If that's your will, I want it. I want it. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for what God's done. The beautiful bride, of course, that God's given me, my children. And I've got food to eat. I've got about 300 square feet to live in. And that's little Zaylee, of course. She's my cousin's daughter, my second cousin once removed. And she stayed over between services and played with Autumn. And we're all trying to get ready and get ready for church in that little trailer. And it was pretty crowded, of course. It's crowded with four of us. And I said, Zaylee, this is a little smaller than your house, huh? A little bit, but I'm grateful. I'm thankful for every square inch of that trailer. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that I've got shoes on my feet today. They might be a little stuffed up. They might not be, the latest name brand. I think I got them on clearance at Aldo. And I might not be the best looking man my wife ever saw. I might not be the richest in this building, but let me tell you, I'm grateful. I'm blessed. I got the joy of the Holy Ghost tomorrow. I've got heaven to look forward to. I've got peace. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're looking for all those other things to make you happy, I promise you, you can spend your life trying your best to get a few more zeros on the right side of the decimal in your bank account. You can try and strive to get the best and the greatest that the world has to offer.
Amen.
There's no joy in that.
That's right.
There's no lasting happiness in that. But in the Holy Ghost today, we're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed. Can we sing this old song today? Oh, it says, I am blessed. I am today, Lord. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Anybody else feel this way? You want to tell the Lord, say again, I wake up in the morning, and when I lay my head to rest, Lord, I'm thankful, God, for what you've given me. Lord, I am blessed. So let's sing it again. Tell the Lord, say, I
am blessed.
Oh, I
Thankful. I want to be loved into that number.
writing about him. And he goes through all this laundry list of attributes, negative attributes they had, right smack in the middle of it. It says, unthankful. Unthankful. Another place he said that though they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Let me tell you, that's not talking about the world.
Right.
The world doesn't know God.
Right.
The world, they don't know who Jesus is. That's not talking about them.
Right.
That's talking about those that have a revelation of who Jesus is. And it says that though they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. Let that be you. Hallelujah. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. Even just to have an opportunity to be in this house tonight. I did the statistics one time. I looked them up best I could. There's somewhere between 7.5 and 8 billion people on the planet right now. We're going to hit 8 billion sometime in the next 20 years. We hit 7 billion just about 20 years ago. And there are, from the most liberal estimates, anywhere between 7 and 10 million oneness Pentecostals. That's from every spectrum, every organization, including the best estimate of independence. Just oneness, Acts 2:38 Pentecostals, between 7 and 10 million. Out of 7 to 8 billion, 1 in 1,000, 0.1% of the total population. And here you and I are. Now, what about the kids that were born into this? What about you that have been, what, I mean, just the percentage, just the probability is so unlikely. So unlikely. And then we think, you know, God, why me? Surely there's somebody that's a better person than I am. Surely there's somebody that's more deserving to be born in this and raised around this and be here. Why, God, why me? Why me? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve to have connection to the truth. You don't deserve to be in a church where truth is preached, where you can receive the Holy Ghost like they did in the book of Acts. You don't deserve that. But we're blessed. We're blessed. Just think about that. Let's sing this again. Let's sing our thanks unto him. Say, I am blessed. Oh, I know it now, God, that I am blessed. Just the mere probability of me being here lets me know. Oh, Lord, I am blessed. Jesus, when I wake up, he from it. Bless. bless. Hallelujah. Only 5% of the world's population is even born in the United States of America, or even became naturalized or American citizens. That's a blessing. But then to be right here, where I can feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I'm grateful, God. I'm grateful. Church, Sparks, Nevada. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I love the spirit of worship. And you can just feel it. It permeates the services and the way it ought to be. Before service, we pray. And the Jesus, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer.
Right.
Hallelujah. A house of communion, communication between heaven and earth. And of course, that is during prayer service before church, but also in our worship and in prayer service, we're talking to God and he's speaking to us. And then on our worship, we're worshiping him and he's speaking to us. And then in the preaching, we're listening to the word of God. He's speaking to us. And there's still that communion. Hallelujah. A house of prayer, that communication going back and forth between heaven and earth. And I'm so, so, so grateful. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 23. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
You've had a long time to get there. Not there yet. You're probably not going to find it. Jeremiah 10 and 23, he said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Luke chapter 22, verse number 40. I want God's way today. I want God's way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In your life, I hope that you want God's way. Not your way, but God's way. In Luke chapter 22, verse 40, says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, God. Hallelujah. Come on, God has a will tonight. God has a will, and you have a will.
Right.
You have a will. And sometimes it's easy for us to get the two mixed up. We say, well, this would be good for me financially. This is what I want to do. This seems like a good idea, so it must be God's will.
All right.
That's not the way that God's will works. He has
Amen.
A will. He has a will.
Yeah.
And my prayer tonight, I hope that your prayer tonight is, God, not my will, but your will. God, not my way, but your way. I can't live my way any longer.
Right.
And I've been trying to live my way and it hasn't worked out too well. I want to work your way. I want to live your way, Jesus. I want your way to be performed in every part, every avenue of my life tonight. When we worship the Lord together, in Jesus' name, would you speak to somebody through this? I pray through this message, through these verses, God, through this burden that you've given me, I pray that you would speak to a soul tonight. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The church said in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can be seated tonight. Thank you so much for standing in respect for the Word of God and for reference to this holy writ. Hallelujah. My way and God's way. And if God does, of course, have a way, He's always had a way. He always will have a way. And He's not just letting things happen. And He's not just kind of flying by the seat of His pants, so to speak. But God has a way. That's what we do. That's not what God does. In John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." In the very beginning. And of course, this wasn't God's beginning. He has no beginning. But in the beginning of our chapter of creation, in the beginning of man's chapter, He said, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now in this passage, and I'm not going to try to sound like a scholar. I try to study, and I enjoy going back to the Greek and Hebrew, but I'm not like some of those guys that can just, you know, they just quote it off and they're practically fluent and Aramaic, and that's not me. But I did, I have at least researched this word, this logos, logos, and I'm sure you've heard it talked on before, but that was the Greek epithet that was translated into the English word in John chapter 1. And it's often discussed because that original title of Logos, in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God. It meant, it has more definitions than just a spoken word, and it is really not an English equivalent, so they used word, they capitalized it to let us know that it was talking about the Word. We read in verse 14, we'll get to that here in just a moment, but that word logos, it meant more than just an utterance. It did mean that, but also it meant motive, the motive behind the utterance. It meant reasoning, or the intent, the thought, and also in that group of definitions is the plan. Hallelujah. Logos means a plan. That means without changing anything. I'm not adding to scripture. Don't call Brother Newman and say, "Man, you sure have heard Brother Clark tonight. He was preaching some strange doctrine." I promise you I'm not. I'm just taking another definition than word. And we could read this: in the beginning was the doctrine, and the doctrine was with God, and the doctrine was God. We can read it: in the beginning was the thought, and the thought was with God, and the thought was God. We can read it: in the beginning was the plan, and the plan was with God, and the plan was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now verse number 14 would read that the plan was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God always has a plan. Ago, but it was not on a whim that God decided to create a body and live within that body and come down to humanity and save us and die on a tree. And it was not just on a whim, but it was a plan. From the very beginning, it was the plan. From the very moment that man sinned and sin failed God and separated himself from God, God already had a plan in motion. He already had a plan from the moment that mankind stepped out of the grace of God and out of the order that God had made him to live in. God already had a door prepared. He already had a way through which man would be able to walk back into that relationship. What did Jesus say? He said, "I am the door. I am the door. I am the plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church is planned. A lot of things around here are planned. The church, the hierarchy of the church is planned. These scriptures are planned.
These scriptures, the Bible said, are forever settled in heaven. That means they're not open to my opinion. They're not open to my suggestion. They're not open to my private interpretation. They speak for themselves and they're planned. They're laid out. God preserved them. God kept them so that we could see His plan. So that His plan for us would be evident. And if I ever am going to have a hope, Brother Miles, if I'm ever going to have any opportunity to be saved, if there's ever going to be any hope for me to be saved, it will only be by the plan of God. It will only be by the way of God. It won't be my way. It won't be my plan. It won't be the way that I think that it ought to be. But it's going to be by the plan that God ordained. It's going to be by the way that God ordained. Not my way, but God's way. Not my way, but God's way. We need that revelation. We need that revelation throughout Scripture. God established this precedent. Not only that God always has a plan, but if we're going to be saved, it is our benefit. And it's in our purpose to follow that plan. To follow that plan, that blueprint concerning the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the altar and the table of incense. You go through the Old Testament and all the measurements and all the designs. You see just how planned that thing was. You see that even the stones that were used, even the garment that the priests wore, even the jewels that were around the temple, even the shape of things, everything was exact. Everything God gave exact dimensions for. Why? He was saying, hey, this is my plan. This is my plan. This is the way I want it to be done. Hallelujah. Exodus 25 and 9. He said, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. The pattern, the blueprint. He said, hey, I'm giving you the blueprint, and this is what I want you to do. I'm giving you the way. I don't want you to take artistic license. I don't want you to make it the way you think it ought to be. But I want you to do it by the plan. I want you to do it my way. Amen. Hallelujah. Going backwards in time. Even before that, all the way back to the Genesis chapter 6, where God speaks to Noah and God commands Noah to build an ark. And what does God tell Noah? He says, hey, I don't care how you build it. Make it however big you want to make it. Make it out of whatever's easiest for you, Noah. Whatever shape causes you the least. No, that's not what it says. No, he said, I want you to make it a gopher wood. I want you to make it 300 cubits by 60 cubits. He said, I want there to be one window. I want there to be one door. You read, he gave him an exact blueprint.
Right. Yeah.
And this blueprint wasn't the easiest to follow. I researched one time what gopher wood was. And we don't have anything even remotely similar in this part of the world. But in Louisiana, they do. You get that swampland, they've got cypress. And the cypress wood is the closest thing that we have to gopher wood. And I don't know if you've ever seen a cypress tree, but they're about 2 inches in diameter, about 50 feet up the tree, and they're about 20 feet in diameter at the bottom. You try making a straight board out of a cypress stump. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. Now they try. They use it. They use it to build ships even today. They use it. It's water resistant. It doesn't rot. It doesn't decompose. That's why God had to make it out of that. But it's not easy to work with. Surely Noah could have said, but God, come on. Come on. Now I'm in the land of cedars. Let me work with a soft wood. Let me work with something that's a little bit easier. Don't you care about what's easy for me? And you know, Noah didn't say, well, you know, God said 300 cubits, but you know, I'm going to help God out a little bit. I think I'm going to make it 500 cubits. I think I'm going to put a water slide on it. I think I'm going to, you know, maybe do put a few shops in it. Maybe I can get more people on board if I start doing things my way. Maybe a few more people will want to jump on the ark if I start taking my own little license. No, he couldn't do that. You know why? God gave him if it was 400 cubits. Maybe it wouldn't have had the structural integrity. Maybe it wouldn't have weathered the storm. Maybe if it was a different size, it would have been broken up. In the world, we don't know. All we know is that God had a plan. All we know is that God had a way. And if Noah was going to be saved, if Noah was going to make it, he had to go by the plan. He had to go not by his way, not by his plan, not by his design, but God's design. His precedent. President, I'm working my way up somewhere. I promise you. Let's go back in time before that. All the way back to the Garden of Eden. All the way back to Adam and Eve. From even then, God, he set these precedents. He set these things that we could glean from, that we could see, that we could recognize. Let me ask you, what was the very first thing? Young people, we'll let these Sunday school kids answer. What's the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they sinned? Anybody remember? What'd they do? They made aprons of fig leaves. Absolutely right. Let's give her a hand. They made clothes out of leaves. They sewed leaves. You know why? God had told them, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of that fruit. They rebelled. Immediately, the Bible says their eyes were open. They recognized their sin for the first time. They were no longer innocent. They were guilty. They saw their nakedness. They felt convicted. They knew that something wasn't right. Come on, there's people in this world. They might not have the biblical teaching, but they know their life isn't right. Right. They know. They can sense it. They know that something is not right with me. So the very first thing that they did, they went and sewed together fig leaves. I believe this is a literal story that happened, but I also believe that there's some symbols in here. There are some types that we can gather from. What do those fig leaves represent? What does that nakedness represent? First of all, it's sin. It's iniquity. It's filthiness. They saw their sin. They felt convicted in their sin. So what did they do? They tried to cover it up their way. That fig leaves, that represents man's way of covering sin. That represents man's way, man's religion, man's tradition. Come on, there are entire religions that are based on nothing more than tradition.
Right.
I'm not here to denomination bash. I'm not here to be disrespectful. But even they will tell you, you go to their services and you ask, you say, well, why does that priest come down? And, you know, he rings the little thing three times over here, and he's got that little smoking lantern three times there, and then everybody kneels down and recites a poem, a prayer. It's not even in the Bible. It's not even directed towards God. And you ask me, why do you do this? They'll say, hey, it's tradition. It's tradition. Let me tell somebody today, and again, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but fig leaf religion has not saved one person. From the very beginning, it established that man's way is not enough. Man's way of covering sin is not sufficient. But what is? What did God do? Come on, Bible scholar, what did God do? When he saw their fig leaves, he saw what they'd attempted. Do we know that part? He slew an animal. He slew an animal. And God took those bloody, gory skins and he covered their nakedness. What does that represent? Nothing but the blood can cover sin. Nothing but the blood can cover my ways. Not enough. My tradition is not enough. Come on, man's way is not enough. God, even back then, was saying, hey, if you're going to be covered, it's going to be my way. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be my way.
Amen.
My plan. We know the plan of salvation. If you've been around it any long time, you know what the Bible says. You know about repentance. You know about Jesus' name, baptism. You say, well, why? Why preacher? Why did God choose that? You know what? Who cares? He chose it. It's his plan. God could have made the plan whatever he wanted to make it. It's his plan. It's his bridge for me to get back into good grace. It's his bridge for me to get from my place of sin to where that blood is applied to my life and that remission is washed away who I used to be. It's the plan that God made. He could have made the plan whatever he wanted to do. He could have said, hey, the plan is you got to stand on your head and juggle watermelons with your feet. And I'm glad he didn't make that the plan. I probably couldn't do that. But if he did, guess what we'd be doing right now? We'd be on our heads. We'd be trying our best. Why? Because it's the plan. If I'm going to be saved, it's going to be the plan. If I'm going to make it to heaven, I've got to do it God's way. Not my way. Not my way. But God's way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times when I was pastoring, I wonder how many times has your pastor heard people say, well, preacher, this is what I think. I know what the Bible says. This is what I think. This is the way I think that it ought to be. I love you. I don't mean to be crude. It doesn't matter what you think.
Amen. Come on, tell us.
It doesn't matter what I think. What does God say? What's the plan? What's the plan of salvation? What's the plan? If the Bible says I've got to repent, and it does. Bible says it. Let's read it. I don't care what the most commonly taught plan of salvation may be in today's Christianity. I know they teach just accept the Lord and you know, repeat a little prayer and you're good to go. You keep living however you want to live. But when asked by a crowd that was overcome by conviction, they felt this very same way I believe that Adam and Eve felt in the garden when they saw their nakedness. When Peter began to preach and the word of God had opened their eyes, they saw what they were and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They recognized that their nakedness, if you will. In verse 37 of Acts 2, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. It's Bible. It's the plan. I've got to repent. I've got to repent. And the Bible says I've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I've got news for you. It does. It does. Every single place that we find anybody baptized in the New Testament after the day of Pentecost, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptized in the name. Every single place. If you don't agree with that, I challenge you. I charge you to find me one instance otherwise. Hallelujah. Even in Matthew 28:19, even in that commission that Jesus gave, he said, go into all the world, teach them, baptize them in the name, singular, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say baptize them in those titles. He said baptize them in the name. What's that name today? Jesus. Jesus. That's why Peter, only a few days prior, 10 days, you realize that between that day of ascension, between that great commission being given, and the day of Pentecost was only 10 days? Peter didn't forget what Jesus said. He didn't forget it. He said exactly what Jesus told him to say. He said, be baptized in the name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anytime anybody was baptized, we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 15. It says, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19:2. I went through this the other night. But here, Paul, he's walking through the coast of Ephesus, and he runs into some disciples there. And he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto them, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, "John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, this is the plan. This is God's way. You say, "Well, preacher, it doesn't really matter how I was baptized. All that matters is my heart was into it." Let me tell you, I'm glad your heart was in it, but it does matter. There's salvation in none other. He said, "Well, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." These disciples had already been baptized, but they were baptized a different way. And when they heard about Jesus, they said, "I want to be baptized that way. I want to be baptized according to the plan. I want to do it God's way." Thus, hallelujah. Well, I don't have time to go through all this, about 80 other instances. I must live a holy life. I've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, born again of the Spirit. Romans 8:9, he said, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Hallelujah. If you don't have the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost in you, you're still dwelling in the flesh. That's Bible. That's not Austin Clark's doctrine. That's Bible doctrine. That's God's way. He said, "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Hallelujah. I've got to have the Holy Ghost. I've got to have, if you're seeking it, let this put another little fire under you. I've got to have your Spirit, God. I want to be your child. I want to be yours. This is your plan. This is your way. This ain't my way. This isn't grandma's way. This isn't the way that my daddy believed it. But this is your way. And not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your will. Hallelujah. Can I preach doctrine tonight? Amen. All right. John 3:5. "But Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say to thee, except ye be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Born of the water and of the Spirit. The water, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The Spirit, being infilled with the Holy Ghost. A new man, a new creature. I want to enter it. It's God's plan. It's God's way. Hallelujah. That I live a holy life, separated from sin. Separated from the filthiness of this world. Titus 2:14, it says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people." This was God's plan. His plan was that he could have a church, a bride,
yep,
that was separated and holy. He said, "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's God's plan. It's not my way. It's not the easiest message to preach. And it's not the easiest message to hear. But I've got to do it God's way.
Right.
Your way is not enough, friend. Your way is not enough, God. Not my way, but your way. Whatever you want, God, get my dreams, get my desires out of the way. I know that I can do it my way. Maybe I could trick myself into thinking I'm happy for a little bit. But I'll never be anything worthwhile if I do it my way. My way. Can I share just a little bit of my testimony? I don't, this isn't in my notes. I wasn't planning on doing this. But my plan was not to be an evangelist. My plan. I graduated high school. I had scholarships. I was set up. I was going to go into engineering. My whole family, they're in construction. It was going to be paid for. It was the right path. I had a lot of pressure for that. That was my plan. My plan. But there was a revival service. In fact, the man preaching the revival, you all know, Mark Cowan, was preaching the revival. I was about 18 years old. I'd just graduated. 2 weeks before classes started, I was signed up. I'm not saying that God's plan for everybody doesn't include education, but God's plan for me did. And in a service, I had to decide. I felt the call. I felt the pull. Am I going to do it my way? Am I going to do it God's way?
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It's easy as a young man, maybe as a provider for your family. You say, well, man, if I went over here, I could make so much more money. I pursued this. Boy, it would just be so much easier. I'd be so much happier. Surely God wants me to be happy. Surely that, it must be God's plan. Because I'd be happier. But could we be honest? Is it my way? Or is this God's way? This girl I'm dating, this boy I'm pursuing. Come on, young people. Is this my way? Or is this God's way? Is this what I want? I'm going to take the time. I'm going to pray about it. Because God, I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way. Before I came to God, before, Lord, you brought me to you, I was doing things my way and I was a mess. I'm going to close here in just a moment. There's a, how many examples of that have we seen in church? We see people come in, I mean, they're on meth, they're messed up, they don't have a job, they don't have a place to live, and we watch as God fills them with the Holy Ghost, turns their life around. 3-4 months later, they've got a job, they've got a home, they're clean. I mean, their life, God has turned their life around. And then about 2 months after that, they start saying, well, you know, this is what I think. They start backing up. And you want to just take them by the neck.
Right.
Say, you idiot! You were doing what you thought before you came.
Right.
And look what happened.
Yeah.
Look what happened. How good was that treating you then?
Right.
I want it my way. I'm done doing it my way. I want it your way. I want to do it God's way. Would you stand with me today? Sister Clark, could you come to the music? Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 29 says, the way of the Lord is strength and upright. I need strength, so I want to do it God's way. God's way. If Noah had any hope to be saved, he had to do it God's way, right? Can we all agree on that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You can agree on that? There's a scripture that we sometimes use in a different context. But I think the way I'm going to use it is the intended context. We often use it to mean, you know, the scripture says that as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We've used that to mean, you know, I guess when it's just as bad now as it was then. When there's just as much sin now as there was then, that's when God's going to come back. I really don't think that's the intended context. It might be. But think about it. If Noah was going to be saved, he had to do it God's way. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I think, it's just my, well, look at here, I'm saying, this is what I think. Just had done knocking to your people over the head of that. Scripture, let's just let it speak for itself. Noah had to do it God's way. I've got to do it God's way.
Amen.
If Noah was going to be saved from that flood, it was doing it God's way. If I'm going to be saved
right
in today, I've got to do it
God's way.
Amen.
God's way. We're tough. We're independent. We're men. You don't have to be a sissy to live for God. It takes a real man to stand up for what's right.
Right.
A real man. And sometimes real men have a hard time giving up their way. Lord, before I leave this house tonight, I want to find an altar. I want to find a pew. I want to find some place where I can close my eyes and tell you, God, not my way, your way. Whatever you want. Whatever you want me to do. Wherever you want me to go. Whatever you want me to say. God, not my way, but your way. Lord, whatever you want to make of my life, not my way, but your way. Whatever plan of salvation you want me to follow, not my way, but your way. Not the world's way, but your way. Not what's popular, but your way. Not what's socially acceptable, but your way. Not what everybody else is doing, but your way. Your way, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh, above all else, I must be saved. Oh, Lord, for above all else,
against the word of God, doing it your way? Are you fighting against the will, the plan of the man of God?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I surrender. Come on, young person. Come on, young lady. Come on, young man. Do it God's way. I promise you, your way is going to lead to nothing but the debauchery, the decadence of sin is going to lead to nothing but hurt and depression and brokenness and death. Don't do it your way. You might think you're old enough to make your own choice, your own decision. You can do it your way if you want to. You're half right. You can do it your way if you want to. But please don't. Please don't. Please, please, I beg of you. I beg you, young man, before it's too late, before you get caught up, before the streets get you, before the drugs get you, before the pull gets you. Come on, do it God's way. Do it God's way. Make a commitment to doing God's way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a newer song. A little bit different feel, but the message is so good. Says, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Sing it again. I give myself away.
I give myself, I give
give myself to you again, sing. Lord, my life is not my own. To you I belong, and I give myself to you. My children in your house. I'm gonna find my spouse in the church. I'm not gonna look in the world. Come on. If you're single for any length of time, I know that's tempting. I don't even know why I'm saying this. I know it's tempting. You're not helping God out, and you're surely not helping yourself out.
Right.
What happened to Abraham? Abraham, he tried to help God out, didn't he? He got his wife's handmaid, Hagar, and helped God out on his promise. Did it his way. Nothing but strife, even to this very day. There's still fighting over there. Your way, God. Your way. That's my way. Wait on you and do it your way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's lift our hands to the Lord tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, God, for the service. I thank you, Lord, for what you've said, what you've done. I thank you, Lord, for this revival. I thank you, God, for all that we felt. Every soul that's come here tonight. Let them leave here, I pray, God, with a decision to make. Let them see they have a decision to make. It can't be put off any longer. They've got to decide right now, are they going to keep living your way or their way? Or are they going to turn your way, God? Things that are in my life that I know that you don't approve of, I'm taking them out. I'm cleaning my house out tonight, God. I'm doing it your way from here on out. From here on out, I'm doing it your way. Jesus, let's lift our hands to the Lord today. Amen.